Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. To learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search rockc3 for our app. This is the second week of our series called Made for More, and this week, Pastor Josh explains that we are called to be more, do more, and go more. Enjoy the message.
How's everybody doing today? You good? Good, good, man. I'm so glad you're here. I want to welcome you and hope you've just had a great experience so far, and that you've enjoyed that worship and just connecting with God that way. And I'm really excited about what's going to happen today. We're going to dig back in to this series that we're calling Made for More. So I want to just challenge you on that aspect. Now, if you're new with us, Then just let me kind of say this, that one, we're glad that you're here. Hope that you've had a great time. Hope that you get connected, and would love for you to go to the Connect Corner after service. We've got a t-shirt for you there. We've got a coupon for you there for our coffee bar, and would love for you to kind of connect that way with us. But let me also just say this, if you're new, it really is a perfect time to be here. And the reason it's a perfect time to be here is we are in this series that we're calling Made for More. And as part of this series, you're going to get a chance to really learn a lot about our church, about what we believe, and about what God wants to do in you and through you. And now, if you come all the time, let me say it this way, that my goal for you in this series is that you will recognize all that God wants to do in you and through you, but you will also recognize it of you want that you'll come to understand all that God wants to do in and through our church as well. Because in this series, what we're doing, it is that what we call a discipleship series, a discipleship initiative, meaning we're using it to help all of us follow God better, but it's also a stewardship initiative. That in this series, that for those who call the Rock home, we're really trying to talk about our finances as a church, that we get this, that we are an attender-operated church, meaning if you attend, that's how we function as a church when it comes to finances. And many of you who call the Rock home, you faithfully give. And one of the things that we're trying to do over the next 2 years is bring in an additional $1.5 to $2 million, all right? Meaning in the next 2 years, from April 2020 to April 2022, we're trying to bring in about $5.5 to $6 million. Now, I know if you're new here, that sounds like a lot of money, all right? But understand, we are a large church that meets in 7 different locations. And because we meet in 7 different locations and we're a big church, obviously it takes a lot of resources to do the jobs that we're trying to do. And we have a lot of things that we want to do as a church, so much that we're trying to accomplish, all right? So I want to invite you, jump on the app, look at on our Rock C3 app, go to the Made for More page and see everything, because you'll see everything about the initiative. Let me take one time out. Family secrets back there. Anyway, so go to the app, because on the app, you're going to be able to find out so much more about the stewardship side of this initiative. Now, today, I'm really not talking about the stewardship side of the initiative. I'm really talking about the discipleship side. And here's what I mean, that we're telling everybody to have a fresh conversation with God about your kingdom call and your kingdom generosity. And today, we're going to talk a lot about kingdom call. And what I want everyone to recognize is what God is calling you to do. Last week, we talked a lot about letting Christ fill you. Today, we're going to talk a lot about what Christ wants to do in you and through you. And this is what I'm afraid of. I think many of us, we're not functioning in our sweet spot right now. And what I mean by that is it's kind of because we have a little bit of an identity crisis that we wonder, well, who am I created to be, all right? I think another side of it is we struggle a little bit because we don't understand our purpose. We're like, well, what am I created to do? Or we even have a position crisis. We're like, well, where is it that I'm created to go? I don't really know who I'm created to be. I don't understand necessarily what I'm created to do. I don't really know where I'm supposed to go. And when you don't have those answers, you don't function in your sweet spot. And what I want you to be able to do is to function in your sweet spot. Now, let me explain a sweet spot by bringing up a baseball bat. Clay, if you need to borrow this, let me know, okay? So, but anyway, in the baseball bat idea, that there is a sweet spot on this bat, all right? How many of y'all have ever played baseball or softball? Okay, so you get it. You understand. If you hit the ball down here, you're going to feel it all the way into your fingers. If you hit it up here, you're going to hit a lazy pop fly or a simple ground ball. But if you hit the sweet spot, then that ball is going to go further and faster than you can imagine. Now, I'll be honest, it's hard to hit the sweet spot. It's hard to look at a pitch and hit that sweet spot perfectly every time. Well, unless you're with the Houston Astros and know what ball is coming. That was for some of my baseball fans. But anyway, but you get it, right? It's hard to hit that sweet spot. And it's the same in life, that God has a kingdom call for each and every one of us. And he wants you to function in that sweet spot. He wants you to know who you were created to be. He wants you to know what you were created to do. He wants you to know where you were created to go, all right? And when we figure that out, well, then we can hit the sweet spot of life. Well, the beauty I have for you today is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It gives us that. Ephesians 2, verse 10 tells us who we are created to be. It tells us what we're created to do and tells us where we're created to go. Ephesians 2, 10 is a verse that I would challenge you, if you have faith or if you want to know your purpose, your position, your identity, memorize this verse because it's a verse that you need to cling to in life. Ephesians 2:10 says this. It says that we are a masterpiece of God, created anew in Christ Jesus to do the good things that he has in store for us. Or he has planned for us is the way the text actually reads. That we are a masterpiece of God, created anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he has planned for us to do. And in that verse, you will see the be, the do, and the go. The be is at the very first line. You are a masterpiece of God. That you are created to be a masterpiece. That you are created to be a disciple. Now, a disciple simply means a follower of God. Let's go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. If you go to the very beginning of the Bible, it says that God created man and woman out of the dust. That he created man out of the dust, and then he created woman out of a man's rib. And when he looked at man and woman, the two that he created, he looked at him and he said, oh, this is very good. This is very good. He doesn't look at man and woman and say, ah, you're all right. He doesn't look at man and woman and say, oh, you're good. You know what I mean? Like when somebody looks at you and say, what do you think about my outfit? That's good. You know what I mean? Like that's not what you want to hear. God looked at Adam and Eve and he said, this is very good. That he's looking at them and saying, you are a masterpiece, a complete work of God. That God is saying, you are great. This is what you are. You're very, very good. And then he just simply says, now just follow me. That's your purpose in life. All right, that is your mission. That's who you are created to be, is a masterpiece who follows God. But if we're honest, most of us don't feel like masterpieces, do we? Most of us feel like we've messed this up, all right? And let's admit it, we have. That we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all made mistakes in life. We've all done it. I am guilty of that. You are guilty of that. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says it this way. Verse 1 through 3 says that because of sin and our sinful desires and our sinful nature, that we've walked away from God. But in verse 4, it says this. It's two words, all right? And anytime you hear these two words in the Bible, you need to pause and get ready for what's next. If you have your app open, it'll read this way. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, the first two words are simply this. But God. But God. Do me a favor, all of us say that together. But God. Anytime you see but God in Scripture, you need to pause. Because what is coming next, chances are really good. And if you are reading Ephesians 2, verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Hear that. But God, who is rich in mercy. Next part of the verse, and loves you so much. And loves you so much. But God, who is so rich in mercy and loves you so much, sent Jesus. Sent Jesus. Let me go on to verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 and 9 says something like this. I'm going to say it from memory, but it's pretty much says it like this. He says that the grace is for you and is not dependent on good things that you have done so that no one can boast. It is a free gift of God's grace. I want you to hear that because, see, I think that's one of our big problems in life, that we forget who we are created to be. We forget that we're a masterpiece because when we think about us in a relationship with God, we're like, well, I'm not good enough. I haven't done enough good things. I haven't earned my way to heaven. I haven't purchased it. And make sure you catch that. That grace is a free gift. It's called the unmerited favor of God. Grace is a free gift. Meaning you can't earn it, you can't purchase it, you can't buy it, you can't do anything except receive it. And when you receive it, that's when you really start to become that masterpiece. Let me go back to Ephesians 2:10. It says you are a masterpiece. You know another way to say it? You're refrigerator art. You get that? You're refrigerator art. You're a masterpiece. You're a refrigerator art. How many of you parents understand refrigerator art? Yeah? How many of you parents have hung things on your refrigerator that you know wouldn't win an art contest, but to you, they are amazing, right? We've all done it. You look at your Christmas trees. You have Christmas ornaments that your kid made when they're in kindergarten, and it looks like trash, but you hope. Like they're doing their best. When they made that, they did their very best. Just like Clay, yeah, woo! I was going to tell you, just go back. All right, we're good. I'm almost done, okay? But anyway, good job, Clay. That's a masterpiece right there. But I want you to think about this, refrigerator art. That if you're a parent and you look at something your kid did when they were in art class in elementary school, like you love it and you hang it up on the refrigerator. Because it's a masterpiece. And at some point in life, though, it feels like that changes, doesn't it? Like I know for me, like I love doing photojournalism, love doing making art out of pictures and stuff like that. I did it a lot when I was younger, and when I hit a point where I was like, I want to try to be creative in a different way. So I decided to pick up painting, and I'd never painted, I'd never had an art class in it, but one day I bought a canvas and I started painting, and I painted this like flower with some fields behind it. And I looked at it and I was like, I don't know if I like it or not. And Krista comes by, my wife, she comes by and she goes, that's awesome, Josh, for your first painting ever. That's incredible. I was like, okay. And she hung it on the wall. And I was like, all right, you know. About 2 weeks later, we were eating dinner with a couple at my house. And I looked up. And it wasn't on the wall. Like it had been on the wall, but it was no longer on the wall. And I was like, And I just kept eating for a little while. And then when I got done eating and everything was done and they ended up leaving, I was like, and I went over and I looked and it was behind the couch. It wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough. Jesus will never put you behind the couch. Because you are a masterpiece. You're a masterpiece that he puts on display. And here, catch this, because this is the key to this word in this verse. You are a masterpiece, and here's why. You are a masterpiece because he created you, and his grace is at work in your life. And it's his grace that makes us a masterpiece. That because without his grace, my life is a mess. But because of the grace of God in my life, that he puts me on display and he says, yes, Josh, you're a mess, but look at how my grace has changed your life, that you are a beautiful creation of mine and my grace is at work, and that's what makes you a masterpiece. And that is true of me and it is true of you when you simply receive it. So receive his grace. That's what you were created to be. But I also want you to see what you were created to do. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things. So that we can do them, all right? Now make sure you catch this. His grace is free. Discipleship will cost you to do something. His grace is free. You are made a disciple. You become a disciple, and that's a free gift of God's grace. But discipleship, meaning this, making disciples of others, that's something you have to do. Because we are created to be a disciple, and we are created to do is to make disciples. And at the church here, that's the reason we always say, love God, love people, and do something. And I know it can be intimidating when you hear, my job is to make disciples. My job is to tell people about Jesus Christ. My job is to help them come to salvation. I know for a lot of us, that sounds scary. You're like, I don't know how to enter into that conversation. I don't know what to say. And you're like, so what do I do? I'll make it real easy. Good things. It's that simple. You want to know how to make a disciple? Do the good things that God has in store for you. Because every day God is putting people and things in front of you, and he's got things for you to do. He's got things for you to do, and all you got to do is do them. And when you do them, it opens up opportunities for you to have conversations. It opens up opportunities for others to come to Christ. So just do the good things that he has in store for you. And I can't sit here and tell you all those things are. I can't sit here and tell you exactly, but I can give you some good illustrations. I can talk to you about Mary and Andy Howe. Mary was the girl who was standing right here singing earlier. That Mary and Andy, they're leaders at our church, been here forever. And one Sunday, they were just at church. And at the end of church, they got introduced to a young couple. It was their first time visiting, and they were checking out church, thinking about coming to church, and they ended up striking up a conversation with them in the lobby. And while they were talking, I don't know if it was Mary or Andy, chances are it was Mary, okay? If you know Mary, that she just looked at this couple and said, hey, do y'all want to go to lunch with us? So they took this young couple to lunch. And over lunch, they were able to get to know them a lot better. And from that day forward, that young couple has been at our church. It was about 2 years ago that the husband had the opportunity to baptize his wife right there in the baptistry. That they are in a flourishing relationship with Jesus, and so are their children. Why? Because Mary and Andy just did a good thing and said, you just want to go to lunch? It was just a good thing. I can tell you about another guy who was here at our 9 o'clock service. He does auto body for a living, and he says every now and then, we were in conversation, and he was just like, yeah, sometimes I'll have widows come in or single moms, or I can just tell somebody just needs a little bit of extra help, and I can't do a lot in life, but I know one thing I can do is I can use these to fix cars. So I just fix their car. It's just a little bit of grace I can give somebody. It's just a good thing. And through that good act that he does in just helping them out in that moment where maybe financially they wouldn't be able to fix their car, and he's able to fix their car for them. It's just a good thing. Or maybe it makes me think of a guy named Jack who's at our church. Jack's a leader here at our Conway campus and at our Aynor campus. And Jack is a guy I was talking to several years ago, and he was just talking about his job. He works for a national company. He's a salesman, oversees a bunch of people, and he's like, you know, I go to work every day, and my whole purpose of going to work is to do kingdom work. He goes, I just work a job. He goes, that's what I do. I'm a salesman. I just work a job. But my goal is when I'm doing this job that I'm going to make disciples. He says, I know one way I'm going to make disciples is I'm going to take the money that God has given me through my job, and I'm going to give it back to him. And I'm going to honor him, and I'm going to be generous back towards him. He says, that's one way I can do it, but I'm also looking for other ways because I want other people to come to know Jesus the way I've come to know him. So last year, he had an idea at their national convention where there'd be thousands of people coming together as a company down in Orlando. He said, I'm just going to have a prayer breakfast. I'm just going to open up an opportunity for people to gather for breakfast. I'm going to open up God's word. I'm going to share with them, maybe teach a little bit, and hopefully somebody will hear that gospel message for the first time. All right? That's a big deal. That's a big deal. I mean, he was going out on a limb, but he's like, well, this is where I'm at. This is where I go to work. So I'm going to do a good thing because I want others to know who Jesus is. So he had this prayer breakfast last year, this time of year, in March of last year, and he had 40 people show up. 40 people that wouldn't have been there unless Jack had sent out an invitation to those he could come in contact with. And Jack was on fire about that. 40 people showed up. He was on fire. He goes, next year I'm going to do it even more. So he started going to the company. He said, hey, can we become an official group of our company? Can I send out some emails and stuff? And the HR department said, yeah. So then he started sending out emails, started connecting with some people. And now the conference was scheduled for next week. Now, for some reason, it got canceled due to some kind of virus. I don't know what's going on. But anyway. But as of last week, he had already had over 200 people sign up and register to go to his prayer breakfast. Do you see it? That God has good things in store for you. So just do them. That's all you got to do is just do them. If you're wondering what your purpose is, your purpose is to do the good things that he has in store for you. But it doesn't stop there. There's one more area because you also got to think about position because you've got to go and do the good things, all right? You've got to go and do them. I love the way the ESV translation of the Bible says it. It says that we should walk in them. That God has good things planned for us, that we should walk in them. That if he has good things for you to do, but we don't ever go and do them, then we're missing the God opportunity and the kingdom calling he has for us. But see this, if you will go to the places God is calling you to go, and you'll do the things God is calling you to do, then people will be who God is calling them to be. Do you get that? If you go where God is calling you to go and do what God is calling you to do, then people have an opportunity to be who God is calling them to be, and you will be who God is calling you to be as well. So we've got to go. So where is it that you go? I always know that's a question. I was like, well, then where do I go? Wherever your feet are. That's the easiest way for me to say this, is it starts by simply going where your feet are. Wherever your feet are, go there. Like, for instance, right now, if you're here or you're watching online, all right, that right now, let me just really speak to it from a Conway perspective. You're here right now, so you should be going right now. That when you come to church, if you have placed your faith in Christ, all right, if you place your faith in Christ, then you shouldn't be coming to church just to hear maybe what I have to say. You should be coming to church to, one, connect with God, but to make disciples. You should be coming to church going, I am going to church simply to make disciples, which means I might be making a disciple. I might be helping somebody come to faith who I brought with me. I brought this person with me because I want them to come to faith, so I'm going to go and I'm going to sit with them. Or I want somebody to be a disciple, so I'm willing to get involved and I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to greet people at the door. I'm willing to show up at 7 a.m. and make coffee for people. I'm willing to stand on stage. Everybody on stage today, outside of me, everybody who is leading worship today, they're all volunteers. Not a single one of them on the paid staff, all right? They're volunteers who said, I am going to go and make disciples right where I'm at. So where do you do that? You do it in your circles of influence. What's a circle of influence? I would say it this way. It's where you live. Think about your house. Think about your family. Think about your neighborhood. You think about your dorm room. It's where you work or go to school, depending on what age you are. It's where I play. It's the things that I'm involved in, the habits I have, the activities that I do. And it's where you worship. that I would say you have four circles of influence, and you need to invest in those circles of influence for the greatest possible kingdom impact. And if one of those circles isn't bringing great kingdom impact, then you might need to make an adjustment. That God might say, well, here's where I actually want you to go and play. Here's the activities I want you to be a part of, because if you'll invest there, you'll have greater impact than if you invest over here. Where you worship, there's some aspects of where we worship where we can have the greatest impact. As a church, we've said this as part of this stewardship initiative, that we want to fully invest in This Gen Ministries, in digital discipleship, and in creatively planning churches. I talked a lot about that last week. You can watch last week's message, all right? But in those three areas, we said, man, we want to make a big splash because those are circles of influence. We have influence in This Generation Ministries. Just last week, our church was on a front page of a national magazine because of the way we are reaching Gen Z, or what I call this generation. We're having influence. But last time I checked, guys, there are kids, there are teenagers, there are young adults that live in this county that don't know Jesus Christ. And I will do everything I physically can, spiritually can, emotionally can, and financially can, so that every kid repeatedly hears the message of Jesus Christ. Every time. I'll take a back seat so that a kid has the opportunity to lead and do what God's called him to do. It's one of the reasons we're expanding on this campus, and we're trying to retrofit that 7,000 square feet, because we want more kids and more families to come to know who Jesus is. We want kids with disabilities to know that they are loved and that they matter and they have a place that they can worship, and so does their families. And it's going to take all of us working together to make that happen. I think about Aner right now, that we have an opportunity because a friend of ours is in the process of purchasing a facility there, that we are going to be able to move our Aner campus from Sunday nights to Sunday mornings and put it in a facility much like this one and do church there like we do here. And the beauty of that, again, is there are kids and there are students, there are people that don't know Christ in Aner and beyond, if you think towards the PD region, that need Jesus and need a place where they can go and worship and connect with God. We've got to look at our circles of influence, and we've got to go there. We've got to go there. We think about our coastal campus, and there's 15,000 college students on our front door. There's 3,500 high school students at our back door, and then tons of elementary kids and middle school kids that need a church that where they know that they matter and that they're empowered and where they can step in and they can lead as well. Where is God calling us to go? I know all that is church, but that's a circle of influence. And I want you to be thinking about your circles of influence and how you can go there so that you can do what God's called you to do, so that people can be who God has called them to be. So as we move into a time of response, I simply want to ask it in a question form. It's a tough question. Or maybe I should say it this way. The question is kind of easy. Our answer can be tough. Because the question is this. Will you be the more that God has called you to be? Will you do the more that God has called you to do? And will you go more to where God has called you to go? Go more means to really look at that circle of influence, where you work, where you live, where you play, where you worship, and go, how can I fully invest in that area for maximum impact? For maximum impact. Thinking about maybe an area to serve, or think about a way to give maximum impact in those areas for kingdom purposes. And you know that if you're honest, there's some of those areas that you're in, but you're not going there with kingdom purpose. Or maybe if you look at the question, will I do the more that he's calling me to do? Will I do the good things that I know he puts in front of me so often and I say no to? Because I don't have time, because I don't have energy, and we don't do what God is calling us to do. Or maybe it's that top question. Will you be the more that he's calling you to be? See, some of us have responded to Christ's gift of grace But bottom line is, even though you've said yes to Jesus, you're still trying to earn your salvation. You're still trying to work for it. Remember, the good things we do is not for our salvation. It's for His glory and other people's salvation, so that they can hear the message of Jesus Christ about grace. But for some reason, we keep trying to earn it. We keep trying to do it. We keep thinking, I got to do it. No. Recognize that you are a masterpiece because His grace is at work in your life. And maybe what you want to do this morning is come up and take communion and just thank Him for that. Or maybe you're here, though, and you haven't responded to Christ's gift of grace. I know in a room this big, I know that that's true. I know that there's those of you who are here and you haven't responded to Christ's gift of grace yet because you didn't think you were good enough. Or maybe it's because you just hadn't heard that it's a free gift. And today, I want you to receive it. I want you just to basically open up your hands and say, I got nothing to offer. I'm not trying to buy. I'm not trying to purchase. I'm not trying to earn. I'm just coming in with empty hands, saying deliver, saying rescue. And today, if that's you and you've never surrendered to God's grace, then my challenge to you is to simply say, Jesus, thank you for grace. I'd like to receive it. I'd like to follow you. It's that simple. Jesus, thank you for grace. I'd like to receive it. I want to follow you. And I want you to say that prayer. Maybe you want to come up and take communion, which is grabbing a piece of bread and a cup of juice and just remembering what Jesus did on the cross when He offered that grace. Maybe you want to go to the prayer corner and just get down on your knees and just spend some time praying. Maybe you need to come to the Connect corner. I would say this, if you say that prayer for the first time, make sure you talk to somebody about it. The prayer is a private prayer, but the response needs to be public. You need to tell either somebody who you came with, or you need to go to the Connect corner and let us know, because we'd love to pray with you as well. Let's step forward into God's grace. Let's be the masterpiece He's called us to be. Let's do everything He's called us to do, and let's go where He's called us to go, both individually and as a church. And when we do, both individually as a church, you'll find yourself in that sweet spot. Why don't you stand with me and let me pray? Jesus, I come before you right now thanking you for your amazing grace. And Jesus, I pray right now that we would respond to it. That we would receive it with open hands. And God, as we're thinking about the things that we know you're calling us to do, the places we know you're calling us to go, help us to walk in them. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like more information on how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.